the media focuses too much on the if it bleeds, it leads angle. You miss out on the solutions, on the encouraging aspects of conservation that help people to move forward and say, okay, we can make a difference.
We've been speaking with journalist John R. Platt. You can find his Extinction Countdown on Scientific American's blog at scientificamerican.com. John Platt, thank you so much for joining us this week on Counterspin.
Thank you.
And that's it for Counterspin each week. Counterspin is produced by FAIR, the National Media Watch Group based in New York. The show is engineered by the wonderful Kelly Spivey. I'm Janine Jackson. Thanks for listening to Counterspin.
The time is 5:59. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Up next, Bread and Roses Feminist News and Public Affairs. This week, Mary Postlewaite brings us another edition of Kitchen Table Conversations, and tonight we'll hear more about her life.
Dynamite!
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Matt Dishman Community Center annual block party on Saturday, August 8th from noon to 4 p.m. This family-friendly event will include barbecue grub, live music and a DJ, activities for kids, family swim in the pool, local vendors, and more. Again, that's the Matt Dishman Community Center annual block party on Saturday, August 8th from noon to 4 p.m. at Matt Dishman Community Center, 77 Northeast Knott Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Montevilla Jazz Festival, Saturday, August 15th and Sunday, August 16th at Portland Metro Arts. The Montevilla Jazz Festival showcases the best of Portland-based artists, including the Alan Jones Sextet, the Ed Bennett Quintet, Machete Order, and Portland Jazz Composers Ensemble, and many more. Again, that's the Montevilla Jazz Festival, Saturday, August 15th, and Sunday, August 16th at Portland Metro Arts, 9003 Southeast Stark Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from People's Food Co-op, a community-owned, values-driven cooperative striving to provide access to Whole Foods customers can trust. People's features farm direct organic produce, bulk foods, a weekly year-round farmers market, and everyone is welcome. Located at Southeast 21st and Tibbet Streets between Division and Powell. More information at peoples.coop. And Oregon Symphony, presenting an evening with indie folk troubadour Gregory Allen Isakov, Thursday, January 14th, at the Arlene Schnitzer Concert Hall. Tickets and information for Gregory Allen Isakov with the Oregon Symphony are available at orsymphony.org.
At the dawn of the day, all the darkened kitchens, the mill of gray, all touched by the radiance that the sun discloses. Oh, hear the people singing, bread and roses.
Welcome to Bread and Roses, Feminist News and Public Affairs. I'm Delphine Crescenzo. Bread and Roses is a collective of women-identified radio activists. We give voice to those working for social justice and equity globally and locally, and we strive to challenge systems of oppression. All of this, and we have lots of fun. We always welcome new collective members, no experience necessary. To find out more, you can contact KBOO's volunteer coordinator. Her email is volunteer@kboo.org. You can like Bread and Roses on Facebook. We are KBOO Bread and Roses. There you can get updates and also see behind-the-scenes photos. And we are on Twitter, and we are at Bread Roses Radio. And you can also find us on the web, kboo.fm/breadandroses. And you can listen there to past shows and even leave us comments or suggestions. Also, you can email us, breadandrosescollective@gmail.com. Well, tonight I have the immense privilege to be with Mary Postlewaite, and this is another episode of Kitchen Table Conversations with the Bread and Roses Collective. Last month, you get to learn more about Jordan and myself as Mary interviewed us, and tonight with Switch Seeds, I'm going to be asking Mary questions about her incredible life and journey. I just want to warn everyone, we really would like for, you know, young people who maybe are experiencing depression, are kind of uncomfortable with where they are at in life, maybe to listen, but we also want you to know that, you know, this show could be triggering. We're going to be talking about some very heavy stuff, and Mary's going to be sharing a lot of very deep thoughts and deep experiences, including some of her original poetry. So we wanted to share this warning, and also we want to let you know that if you are at any time feel compelled to call during the show, Mary will welcome that. Of course, if you are contributing any positive reaction or any positive comment to the story. The number to call is 503-231-8187. Mary, how are you?
I'm good. And how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm feel so honored to be here in the spot as your friend, but also as a Bread and Roses Collective member. You know, so I know you want to tell us a little bit about, you know, why the kitchen table conversations are important to you.
Absolutely.
And then you want to open the show today with a poem.
I would. This is a poem of tragedy. And later I will tell you why. Once she wrote a poem and called it Spot, because that was the name of her dog, and that was what it was about. And the teacher gave her an A and a big gold star, and her mother hung it on the kitchen door and showed it to all of her aunts. Once she wrote another poem and called it ?Innocence, because that's how she was, and that's what it was about. And the professor gave her an A and a strange and stay look, and her mother never hung it on the kitchen door because she never let her see it. Once she wrote another poem and called it Absolutely Nothing, because that's what it was about, and that's how she was feeling. She gave herself an A and a slash on each damp wrist and hung it on the bathroom door because she couldn't reach the kitchen. I wrote that poem when I was 13. It came to me at a time in my life where I felt like I was alone. I felt like I was unloved and unwanted. At that age, I tried to commit suicide 4 times, and I was hospitalized each time. I want to do this show because I want young people and adults alike who are out there who feel like there's nobody there for you and that nobody cares. I want you to know that there is somebody and that it will be okay and you can make it through. And that's why the show will be the way it is today.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about this incredible journey from this 13-year-old girl who wrote this poem to the activist, amazing change maker that you are today in your community. So, Mary, tell us, where are you from? We're all crying here, by the way. I'm sure everybody's crying out there, too.
Well, I was born in a small town named Monroe, Washington, Washington State. I was born poor, for lack of a better word. My father was a criminal. My mother gave up on me, and so my father raised me to the best of his ability. When I was about 13, about, well, 14. My father kind of washed his hands of me. Mm. And there was a neighbor behind us. He kind of went to her and was like, here, you know, I don't know what to do. Mm. I don't know what to do with her. So she kind of led me into how to be a woman. Not that it was the best path to go. Mm. However, that was the cards I was dealt. Mm-hmm. After that happened, my life really went downhill. I was in modeling for a while, and my father took me out of modeling, which was my dream. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I started acting out and started acting like a weirdo and not doing what I was supposed to be doing in school and at home. And, you know, before all that happened, I'd suffered abuse at the hands of family, physical and sexual. Mm. So, you know, I was already damaged. And by the time that all happened, it sent me into this downward spiral that made me feel like I was just not worth anything. Mm. That there was no way for me to become somebody. So after the stint of going through suicide and doing all of these things, I met somebody, and he became my first pimp. He took me to California, and there started my prostitution career.
How old were you, Mary?
I was 14 when I started. I met him at 18, but however, it lasted about 11 years total, and I went all over the place, and I was a prostitute, and there was many things that came along with that. You know, I was beat up, I was raped, I was cut, I was hospitalized, I've had surgeries, not to mention the mental things that it has done to you over your life. But, you know, I did that for a long time. And my first child was born right before I met this man. I ended up giving her up. And got pregnant with my son.
And we've had your daughter on the show, actually.
Yeah, she called in, yes.
Mirjam, we had her on the show, and we talked about reuniting with family members. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So that was my first one. And then I got pregnant with my son. He passed away. Mm. I got pregnant again. After him, I had another child I was pregnant with, and both of those children were taken away from me because of me being a prostitute and the environment that they were in. Mm-hmm. However, I ended up getting pregnant again for the umpteenth time. And when my daughter was born, my youngest daughter, she's my second to youngest child, there was something about her.
And she's right here.
That made me know that it was time for me to stop. It was time for me to grow up. You know? And it was time for me to stop blaming everybody who had hurt me or done something to me. I needed to stop blaming them and be real to myself. So in a sense, my daughter kind of saved my life. You know? Because she made me realize that I'm better than that. And, you know, I don't know. Without her, I don't know what would happen. I don't know. She's my heart. But, you know, going through the things that I went through, it just made me more depressed and more hate. I had more hatred for people. I got to a point where I felt nothing. No love. I couldn't show you I loved you. I couldn't show you that anything but anger and hatred, because I was so tired. I was tired of being abused my whole life and, you know, being told that I was no good and that I wasn't going to amount to anything and things like that. After a while, you start to believe that, especially as a young lady. You know, as young women, we need to know that we're validated and that there is a reason why we are here. you know, because that didn't happen for me. I ran the streets and I had 5, 6, 20 pregnancies, you know, however many it was, which was a lot, but I have 6 children and 5 living. Mm-hmm. However, that wouldn't have happened if I had structure and I had somebody who I felt cared about me and loved me and didn't push me into the streets, you know. The bond that I have with my daughter was a bond that would never have happened between me and my parents.
Mm-hmm.
Never. My parents never looked at me and said, you can be anything you want to be. They never said, hey, you know, no matter what happens, I love you and I'm there and I got your back. I don't care what it is. They never told me that. So I grew up feeling like it was me against the world, period. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, you grew up feeling that that this was not about you.
Right. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what power I had within myself, because I was never taught that. I learned everything I know on my own. I'm self-taught, and that's just the way I like it. Mm-hmm. Now. I like it. I wouldn't be who I am today if I didn't go through what I went through then. You know, it's rough. When I was a teenager, you know, when I went into the hospital, it's hard being told that you're crazy and that you have something wrong with you because you don't feel happy, you know, because you feel like your parents aren't there for you or you don't have people who are there for you. And so at the young age that I was, that was what was instilled in my head, that my parents didn't care enough to try to help me, that they just shipped me off to a hospital instead of trying to figure out what it was that was hurting me so much that I would want to do that. And, you know, again, I want anybody, but especially my focus is for young women out there or young teenagers out there who feel depressed, feel like the world is caving in on them, feel like they don't know what to do, they don't know where to go or who to turn to. Believe that there's somebody there. It may even be somebody you don't know, mm-hmm. but I want you to believe that there is somebody there and somebody loves you. There's somewhere for you to go and there's somebody for you to talk to. If it's a stranger, you can call me. You can call in here and you can speak to anybody here that would want to talk. There's numbers you can call. There's people that you can talk to that will help you out of your situation right now. You know, I raised my 2 youngest children. A boy is my youngest and a girl who's here today, Marshalia. She's been on the show before. I raised her the way I feel I didn't get raised. I feel like I pushed my children. I pushed my daughter in school. I want her to be a good, productive citizen in life. And I was hard on my daughter, especially because she is a girl. And because there are so many stereotypical things, and because of the life that I led, I know what's out there.
Mm-hmm.
I know what people are like and what they can do. Mm-hmm. And I, for one, will not have my children living that life. I don't want to see my daughter out there on the streets. I don't want to see my son selling drugs on the corner. Mm-hmm. I don't want that. I don't want that. So that's why I'm telling my story today.
Mm-hmm. Marshalia, would you share with us what are some of the things that your mom told you growing up, warn you against?
Well, something she told me all the time was, before it was her against the world.
Mm-hmm. Now it's us against the world.
Right.
Yeah.
We're so all crying.
It was so important for her, right? That she knew that she was there, right? It's, no matter it's, what happened,
it's
we're
important
together.
As a parent and a woman and a mom, all that good stuff you want to call it, it's important for you to be honest with your children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've never lied to my kids. They know about what's gone on in my past. They know about the men that were in my life that were abusive. They know all of it. And some people think that that's not okay, that I shouldn't be so blunt and honest with my children. And that's okay. That's their opinion.
Yeah.
But to me, knowing that I've lived in that part of life, you know, I feel like if I don't tell them that this is there and it's whatever, they won't be prepared for it.
Mm-hmm.
My son or my daughter, you know? And it's like, why would I want to lie to them and tell them that nothing happened? I was great. Okay, yeah, I was a beauty queen and I graduated from school, but I don't have a diploma because I lost it in a fire. Yeah, right. No. My kids know, and that made them stronger in knowing that those evils are out there, to, you know, and it, they can hit anybody. So
yeah,
I really tried to instill that in, especially my daughter.
Yeah. It got hard at times, I mean. But she helped me break all those stereotypes
mm-hmm.
about minorities and who I was supposed to be, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. And I'm the total opposite of everything.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. I ask myself all the time, like, what it was that she's seen in me.
You ask yourself this question, Marshallia. You are so amazing. There's so much that she
and see,
sees
but
in
I,
you.
But I like that's the question. Yeah, because my question was why they can't see me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why are they not looking at me?
Yeah. Why?
And why aren't they validating what I've done?
Yeah.
And so I've always told my kids, no matter what it is, no matter how you feel, you are validated in what you do and how you feel. It does not matter who you are or how you do it. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right. So everybody's entitled to their own opinions and feelings.
Yeah. You're listening to Bad and Roses. I think we're making history here. I've never cried so much on the show. And it's only 20 minutes in. I'm Delphine Crescenzo, and Mary Postlewaite has come up with a brilliant idea of kitchen table conversations with us, collective members, becoming our own guest so that we can share with you a little bit about where we come from. And Mary is sharing such heavy stories and experiences with us tonight, with the hope that you will listen and you will share this with the young people in your life, or maybe it's you, the young person listening, and hear a little bit
or the
of
adult.
Your message. Yeah. Or the adult who has gone through this, or who knows somebody who is. And Mary, talk a little bit about how you know, as you were growing up, and as you were, entering maybe the prostitution world. Talk a little bit about what was your state of mind, what was going through your head, because you and I have had conversation, and I know there's also, very important things in that life that you
well,
talk about.
First and foremost, of course, I was naive, you know. As far as what it's called, quote unquote, the game, or the street life. I was very naive to it, even though I ran the streets with my people and who I knew.
Mm-hmm.
So, when I ended up like traveling, as a prostitute, it turned into the money.
Mm.
It was about the money, at that time. It was quick, it was fast, and there was a lot of it. And after time, I started to realize that maybe it was for attention also. The looks that I got, it made me feel good. It made me feel like I was beautiful and somebody loved me.
You
and
were
somebody
validated,
wanted,
right?
I was validated, right. Unfortunately, I was naive enough at that particular moment to feel like it was real genuine feelings.
Mm.
But as I got older, I realized that that's not what it was. And, I just decided that I had to see life for really what it was. It wasn't what it was all cracked up to be. Mm-hmm. And it's not all that glitters isn't gold.
Mm-hmm.
Most definitely. Yeah. So, yeah, that's money. Money was the issue. Money was the... I liked going into the stores and buying whatever I want. I didn't care. I had money.
Mm-hmm.
I liked driving nice cars and living in nice places that are fully furnished. And, you know, I have everything. And, you know, buying gold jewelry for my kids, that was what I thought made me a person.
Mm-hmm.
What I thought made people like me is having things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, I realized that's not the truth. Mm-hmm. When I lost everything, when I lost everything, including the clothes on my back, mm-hmm. the only thing I had was my daughter, a bag of her clothes, mm-hmm. and a bus ticket from my mom. That's it. I didn't have no extra clothes for me, nothing. And that's when I moved here in 2000. Got on the bus and came home. Because I was done. I was done feeling like I didn't matter. There, I was a piece of meat. You know, yeah, I was pretty, but, you know, that's okay. You're not smart because you're a hooker. Mm-hmm. You know, that's, I was tired of feeling like that because I am smart. And I may not be. I didn't graduate high school, you know, whatever.
She's smart.
Oh, but God. I'm smart. I've taught everything. I've taught myself everything. And hey, yeah. I'll tell you what, I know a few people with some college degrees that aren't quite as literate as I am. Mm-hmm. Not saying any names or anything like that. We all know.
So you know, I'm sure, I hope, you know, folks are listening out there. I hope young ladies are listening out there. You know, and maybe they are in this situation where, you know, they just encountered a young man or older man, you mm-hmm. know, who is kind of trying to entice them with something. What were some of the things that you warned, you know, your daughter about, and what are some of the things you want young ladies to know and to think about as they are about to make a decision that could change?
Well, first of all, I want you guys to know, as I've taught my daughter, that whether you're a boy or a girl, it doesn't matter. Gender doesn't have a bias. Mm-hmm. You need to be careful before you don't just meet somebody and think that that person is there for you. You don't know them. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't know how those people are. If you find somebody that you like, you're a boy or a girl, you want them as your boyfriend, girlfriend, or whatever it may be, that's okay. It's okay, but get to know them. Know who they are. If you are a young girl, stay away from the older man. You don't need them. Mm-hmm. You're young. Stay in school. You know, keep your body to yourself until you know that it's time for you to experience that. And speak to your parents. Talk to somebody. Anybody. If you can't talk to your parents, go to school and talk to somebody. Talk to your neighbor that you're comfortable with. Talk mm-hmm. to somebody and let them know that you're there. You have these feelings and it's completely normal. When you meet people, let your parents know. Mm-hmm. Don't hide it. If they're wanting you to hide something, it's not right. Mm-hmm. If they're telling you that they want to take you somewhere way far away, it's not right. If they don't want to meet your family and they don't want to know who your friends are, they don't want you to call right now, it's not right. Walk away and talk to somebody about it, you know, because if it was meant to be, those things won't happen. If it was meant to be, you'll be respected by a man or a woman. It doesn't matter. They'll respect your wishes. They'll respect how you are. They'll respect how you walk, you eat, you dress, you talk. Mm-hmm. They will respect all of that. If you can't say no and they don't respect it, then you need to walk away.
Yeah.
Even if it's just one time, you need to walk away. Period. Mm. Yeah. What have I taught you, Mommy? How have I taught you when it comes to the fact that, you know, there's those evils out there?
Man, I don't know where to start. There's so much my mom's taught me.
First and foremost, I've always wanted my daughter to believe in herself. She's beautiful in every way. Mm-hmm. That she's smart, that she's worth something, and that no matter what she does, she's validated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and that makes a difference mm-hmm. in somebody's life. If you can tell them that what you do and what you say, you're worth it. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if it's mm-hmm. bad, if it's good, you are entitled to that. It's how you use it. It's how you use that emotion. Mm-hmm. That's what I've always taught her.
Mm-hmm. So, and Elijah too.
And mm-hmm.
That's my brother.
That's my youngest.
Yeah. I think one of the biggest things my mom's taught me is to just speak up.
Mm-hmm. No matter who it is. what it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's for the parents or the older folks who are out there. That's all sometimes a teenager wants. Mm. It's just someone they can go to and trust.
Mm. And listen.
And listen.
Listen.
Mm-hmm. And not judge them.
Mm-hmm.
And some, I don't want to say I feel sorry, but sometimes I wish my mom could have her when she was my age.
Mm. Oh, my baby.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do nothing but love her.
Yeah, for sure. She's amazing. She's amazing.
Get it all from her, though.
Well, I mean, I have to say, personally, I have been so impacted by you guys' relationship. In the second half of the show, we're going to talk about the
more
activism.
Positive. More positive.
And how, you know, all of this moved into, now, both, you know, Marcellia and Mary, you've heard them here on Bread and Resist talk about food justice, talk about diesel pollution, talk about safety for youth, talk about all these things. So we are going to maybe take a short musical break. This is Bread and Roses. This is Mary's creation, kitchen table conversation. This is like we are at home. I wish we had some like food and everything.
Right. That's what I'm gonna take the
place. You know, maybe we need some pots and all next time. But the concept is to give you a chance, listener, to know a little bit more about us, Bread and Roses collective member, why we do what we do, but also where we come from and our journey. I think that we are using radio as a means to reach folks out there who, you know, have similar ideas and also who have experienced similar things. So this is an amazing idea and an amazing show tonight where we get to hear about Mary's journey from a very difficult place, a very dark place, to becoming an amazing change maker in her community and feeling so good and positively about herself and having instilled all of that in her children. This is Bread and Roses. We'll be right back. We're going to listen to Adele. What's the track we're going to?
Rolling in the Deep.
All right, let's do it. Okay, this is Bread and Roses. There is no track. Great. But maybe, Mary, this would be a good time for us to shift gear in the show and go into one of their poem, which is about practicing being in the moment. A great poem that you wrote as Mary is postal weight is sharing with us tonight some of her original poetry.
Hello. So, I'm going to read another original poem. It's called The Last 10 Minutes. In the last 10 minutes, I've heard the birds chirping in the trees just outside my front door. I heard my son and his friend have a conversation about action figures. In the last 10 minutes, I've heard my clock tick-tock 600 times and have felt my heartbeat with every movement. I felt the breeze gently glide across my face, and I smelled the sweet smell of sunshine in the air. I have felt peace and serenity, and for a moment, the world's problems seem to have faded away. I have felt so blessed to have had the last 10 minutes. Mm. This was written on my porch one day, and I live in an apartment community, and there's 124 apartments with over 300 people in the complex, so it gets pretty loud. Yeah, and I have children, so, you know, they're allowed to. But one day, A few summers ago, I was sitting on my porch and it was quite warm outside. And it just dawned on me that I didn't hear any screaming, no yelling, no kids arguing or trying to, you know, make any kind of chaos. And the breeze was blowing and the birds were chirping and it was so quiet and so serene. And I just was like, oh my goodness. And I sucked it in and I realized that, you know, you take the little things for granted. Mm-hmm. You know, the sweet smell of the air that went was blowing by me, mm-hmm. you know, and the sun that was on my face and keeping me warm. You forget to appreciate those things when you're caught up in your daily, everyday life. Mm-hmm. But that day, I realized how much I really appreciated it. And so that's where that poem came from. Mm-hmm. You know, stop and smell the roses every once in a while. Mm-hmm. Wake up in the morning and go outside and just look at the sky. Mm-hmm. Take a breath, you know, sit down and just say, hey, I'm alive and today's going to be an all right day. Mm-hmm. I hope. That's all you can do, right?
That's all you can do, yeah. So talk a little bit about, you know, how the transition happened. You talked a little bit about how, you know, you became pregnant with Marshalia and something clicked for you. Mm-hmm. You decided that was it. I'm done with this life. So talk a little bit about that transition, you know, how easy or difficult it was and where you've been.
Well, it was both. It was easy and it was difficult. It was easy because I had made my mind up. It was time. And I knew that, you know, when your time has come to do something or say something, you just get that feeling. So I knew that it was time for me to go home and stop doing what I was doing. However, it was hard because money is an addiction. Mm-hmm. A.E., I was addicted to money. I wanted money every day. I wanted hundreds of dollars a day. I didn't know what to do if I didn't have the money in my pocket, you know, so that meant I wasn't going to have nice cars and I wasn't going to have nice clothes and my kids couldn't have jewelry and, you know, the material things that I was having, I wasn't going to have anymore. But so it was hard because it was an addiction. And I'm not here to tell you that was the last day it ever happened. Mm-hmm. I fell into what you would consider, you know, I fell off the wagon. I did. There were times where it was hard for me and I fell back into doing what I was doing. But I felt so different than I did before. I felt so ashamed of what I was doing. And so like, why did I do that? You know, I told myself I wasn't gonna do it anymore. And so I beat that addiction. You know, don't get me wrong, I love money. Everybody mm-hmm. likes money. Mm-hmm. But I look at it differently now. Mm-hmm. You know, I look at it as something that it comes and goes. You know, all that materialistic things that I had, I wasn't happy. Mm-hmm. I wasn't happy, and neither was my daughter. You know, we were living from hotel to hotel and day by day, and we didn't know if we're gonna have a room that day. That's not any way to live mm-hmm. for a child or anybody. But yeah, so it was time, and that's what I did. I came home.
So what are some of the ways that you quit the addiction? Did you replace this with like some other positive activities or how was...
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. Well, it's really not funny, but when I came home, again, I didn't have anything. So I stayed with my mother and I got a job and I worked there for a couple of months and then everything started to go downhill again. There were some issues between my mother and myself and some things that were done that, you know, weren't very beneficial for any of us. Mm. And so I ended up losing my job and being homeless, basically. Mm. And by the grace of God or whatever, I ran into an old friend of mine at Ross mm-hmm. out the blue. And she gave me her number, and it just so happened that the next weekend, all the tragedy happened at home. Mm-hmm. You know, I was losing my house. My mom was gone crazy.
Mm-hmm. And Trey Charisse.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And I called my friend, and I was like, hey, you know, do you think that it's possible that I can bring my daughter over there, and, you know, she can stay there for a couple days while I find a place for us to to go to, and she was fully welcoming to us. Mm-hmm. She brought us in, and the rest is history.
Mm.
I never left. I'm home. I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
That's what started my path onto redemption for myself.
Mm-hmm.
For lack of better words, that's what started my positivity in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So was Cherise.
That's great.
May she rest in peace.
Okay.
Yes.
You know, Amber is also here with us.
And she came not very far after that.
Yeah, and she's a friend of yours. So, you know, I'd love if you can talk a little bit about how you guys met and you know, maybe your reaction, Amber, to hearing Mary's story tonight.
Absolutely.
So with us tonight is a really good friend of mine, Amber Bailey. And she met me when I was pregnant with my youngest child, and it was very, it was like karma almost. Mm. It was like a destiny thing, kind of. Because anybody who's had children, you know that when you are pregnant with child, you are not supposed to do certain things or handle certain kinds of things. Well, I had cats, and that's one of the things that you're not supposed to deal with when you're pregnant is the cat litter box. So I know this sounds funny, but this is how me and Amber actually came together.
Yeah.
I was at somebody else's house, and she happened to come over, and she was needed somewhere to go. You know, she was moving out of her apartment, and I needed help.
Mm.
I was pregnant, and I couldn't do the cat box. I couldn't take care of the cat, so I was like, you know, I need some help. So, bow. It was instant destiny.
Yeah, and she moved in.
And she moved in, and she was there, what, about 3 months?
Yeah.
About 3 months till I had my son.
Mm-hmm.
So,
oh, man.
And, you know.
She was such a huge help.
Yeah, so, you know, she, I don't know how long it was before you actually found out about me, that I wasn't just some girl that you met, that I really had a story to tell. So, I mean, tell the listeners, what was it like for you when you found out that this girl that was just there and she's cool and whatever had that type of past and history?
Well, I actually met her through another friend who, it's just crazy how women meet each other. I'll just say that. We like, it's just.
The other friend was my babysitter as I was traveling when I was prostituting.
Mm-hmm.
So and I had met her through her neighbor. So it's just all weird. But I was in a bad way. I had, my son was young. He was about to be five. And I had just taken my first active courageousness and left my son's dad after a really bad situation of domestic violence. So I was like really in a bad way. And so just like, you know, how women do, we like glom onto our friends and we like, you know, try and be a support system. So, you know, there was this girl who came over, was pregnant and was like, you know, she was a pretty cool chick and she was like, you know, telling me about her problems and, you know, what she had going on. And I was like, look, you know, I could help you out and this sort of thing. And so as soon as it was like instantaneous, I know that everybody listening has always had that one person where they're like, you know, I know I don't know you from a can of paint, but I feel like we've known each other forever. Like it was instant.
This is how it happened between me and Mary.
Absolutely. It was just kind of one of them things that happened.
Yes.
Right. And so I feel like it's like a kindred soul kind of situation where, you know, I just, I don't, you know, just jump into situations with people either. And, you know, here I was taking my son. I had a carload of things. I had a van, a little minivan. I was like, I can take you to your doctor's appointments and clean your kitty box. Like, can we, like, can we do this thing together? So literally she helped me out. One, like, good turn deserved another. She paid it forward. And, you know, when we started, you know, having nightly moment, you know, we're getting to know each other literally while we're living together. So it was like the most rawest, like our first adventure was like taking van loads of dirty clothes to the laundromat.
Right.
Like, so like, here's my life basically, like right out in front of you. Like, so we're getting to know each other every day. And, you know, the stories unfold, you know, over just, you know, we're sitting having dinner and then we're talking about our lives, you know, and it's just raw and open and honest. And I never once felt like
I couldn't say anything to her and she couldn't say anything back to me. Mm. And that's powerful in the way that we, like I said, didn't know each other. I could have looked at her and been like, what? Like, prostitute, I'm out of here. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't, I'll go stay somewhere else. Like, that could have, you know, people are very can be very judgmental. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like we were just very, very fortunate to find each other in that moment in time. And it forged such a foundation that is, like, unshakable. Mm-hmm. Like, learning about the fact that her family closed their backs on her and her child at the time. You know, I didn't know the baby inside of her, who I love to pieces now. But there's this beautiful woman who was literally had life inside of her and was just telling me about how, you know, time after time I've trusted and I've been hurt. Mm-hmm. In some way, physically, emotionally, sexually. And I mean, I'm a big old softy anyways. My heart just opened up and I was just like, I love you right now. Like, and her daughter is completely charming. She is absolute doll. And
Auntie Ample.
How can you refuse that little face and that little voice? So, I mean, I fell in love with her kid and, you know, it was, they didn't have family. And I was like, from this moment, I'm your auntie. Like, she was only two.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
I remember driving.
Really little kids. And I mean, I just felt like this woman is brave and people, how can somebody walk by and not absorb her energy? Because she is a great person. Yeah. I mean, you got to get past the exterior because she's 6'2". So a lot of people think, oh my gosh, this this woman is a big woman and she's intimidating or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I was just enthralled. Like, she's captivating.
Mesmerized. Well, if you have to be intimidated by me without saying anything, then goodbye.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right.
You know, stop and take a couple seconds.
Stop and smell the roses.
And so, Mary, you know, this is also something that you've been doing as well, and you still do, support folks in your community. You are a community health worker.
I am.
Talk a little bit about what that is and also how you were a community health worker even before there was a term in your head for it.
So in the apartments that I live in, there was a Village Gardens, which we've talked about before, was started. And when I came back here, I was still depressed, you know, even though I was trying to change my life. But I still didn't have family. It was just me and my daughter, even though I had friends and, you know, they considered themselves were now family. But there's nothing like having your own family. Mm-hmm. So it took me a long time to kind of pull myself up and become part of my community. My daughter started into the Village Gardens things way before I did. Mm-hmm. And my son, and they just were getting all involved and they kind of got me involved. And I, you know, when my son was little, he got in a lot of trouble for trivial things in my book. Mm-hmm. You know, things that normal everyday children do.
Of course.
And I got to the point where I was like, you know, I'm tired of this. I'm getting a notice on my door every other day. You know, it's something all the time. So I decided that, you know, I was going to fight back. And that's basically where I started realizing that my voice has power. Mm-hmm. I started to get involved with the Village Gardens and did some trainings and became a community health worker. Mm-hmm. And then I took that and I kind of ran with it. You know, I fought school systems and, you know, bus systems and managers and apartment complexes and management companies and you name it. Mm-hmm. And I fought for our children and decided that it was time. You know, if you don't want our kids to be out here doing things that you don't like, then give them something to do. Mm-hmm. There's nothing here, you know, at our complex. There was nothing there for these kids to do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I started advocating for the children and that's what started me like becoming the activist that I am. And then I started hearing different things about the environment, like the diesel pollution. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm a big person on, I want to see. So I want to see the statistics. Let me see the numbers, you know, and when I did, it was crazy. So I started, you know, talking about that on the air. We've had a show about diesel pollution.
Yeah, we have, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one thing I never did is I never lied. I never told anybody a lie about who I am or where I came from. What I've done in my life and the things that I've gone through in my life are not embarrassing to me. Mm. I regret nothing. I learn from those experiences and I know what to do next. You know what I'm saying? I know if those situations come back up, I'll know how to handle them better. Mm-hmm. So I don't regret life. I use it as a lesson learned. Mm-hmm. You know, you can take the good and you can take the bad. And no matter what the situation, I always try to find some kind of silver lining. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a 20 car pileup on the freeway. You know, 5 people died, but 12 kids are safe. Mm-hmm. There's your silver lining. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's sad that people would lose their lives, mm-hmm. but there was 12 children who are going to become productive citizens in our life that survived, mm-hmm. you know, and that kind of makes it a little bit easier mm-hmm. to deal with all the difficulties and the negativity that's out there in the world. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just try to find something positive. Everybody has a story to tell, and some of it's not always all that great, mm-hmm. but you just got to kind of find the lining in there so to make yourself a little bit more positive and yeah. feel a little bit of positivity in there.
Marcella, would you talk a little bit about how the activism that you have been doing on your own and also with your mom, how, you know, how you guys inspire each other sure. and work together?
Yeah. So my activism started when I started for Foodworks, which is a part of Village Gardens as well. And I am a huge activist on food, organic produce, mm-hmm. And, you know, teens having a voice. Foodworks does a great job on trying to encourage youth to stand up and, you know, step out the box. And I think me and my mom, I mean, we've always had an amazing connection, but mm-hmm. once I started to really have my own voice and know that I could kind of stand on my own two feet, we just became even better friends. And I mean, I call her a friend. She's my best friend, actually. But she's always my mom first. Mm-hmm. I know that.
That's important. It's yeah. important for people out there to remember that. Parents and children alike. You know, they say you can't be your kid's friend, but that's not true. Mm-hmm. You have to remember that before anything, you are their parent. Yeah. And before anything, they are your parents. Mm-hmm. However, yeah. I can answer my daughter as a friend, mm-hmm. and I can answer my daughter as a mother. Mm-hmm. And the answers are not always the same. So I can see the picture from both sides. And that's what parents out there need to do for their children, is mm-hmm. you need to see it from their eyes. We were all there. Yeah. We've all been teenagers. We've all had things go on. So we can understand a teenager. So, you know, you can be your children's friend. And in doing that, you'll save a lot of the negative emotions that children can feel when they grow up. They'll feel like they'll have somebody there, and it's mm-hmm. stability. And, you know, they won't feel judged or whatever the negativity is there. So, yeah, I love her. She's my best friend and my baby and my angel and everything else that you can think of.
Thanks, Mom. I mean, yeah, I'm just big in the community in general. Mm-hmm. I'm a very social butterfly, I guess you could say. I like to be around people.
I don't know where she got that.
I think I got it from my mom, but you know. And I don't know. She was the only, well, not, I don't want to say the only person I had, but she was the one that was there every day. Mm-hmm. You know, growing up as a teenager, and even as a young kid in the St. John's Woods, it was hard. Mm-hmm. And seeing drugs, mm-hmm. being in shootings. I mean, I've been in crossfires before. Seeing reporters get beat up, mm-hmm. you know, and not having a positive environment, it made me want to do something. Mm-hmm. And I knew that she would be the one to be there mm-hmm. when I needed, you know, that backbone.
And that's what she meant earlier when she was saying that, you know, people say you're a product of your environment.
Yeah.
But, you know, my daughter was raised in a rougher neighborhood. There was a lot of gangs and shootings and drugs and all that good stuff that was there, but she didn't become a product of that. And that's mm-hmm. because why? Because she had a mother who cared. Mm-hmm. She had somebody who was there for her and was open with her and allowed her to be open too, mm-hmm. no matter what it was. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that my children can't come to me and tell me.
Yeah, you yeah. allowed her also to be herself.
Absolutely.
And given her the space to find
who she is.
Yeah.
Acceptance is a powerful thing.
Oh, for sure.
Is.
Yeah,
it is.
It really is. Mary, would you read this last poem so that we can, you know, hear it fully and talk a little bit about it before we wrap up? This is Ben and Riz's Kitchen Table Conversations tonight. We've got to learn so much about Mary and her amazing energy and transformation, and she's been reading some poems for us. So what's this one?
This last poem is called Obstacles, and I wrote it when the Gulf War, Desert Storm. Mm-hmm. That's when I wrote it.
1991.
Life throws us obstacles that we must overcome every day of our lives. It is how we as people deal with these obstacles that set us apart. As time goes by, many of us will fall. Many of us will perish. But many of us will stay strong and standing. It's those of us still standing that hold together the thin and frayed fabric we call life. Yet as thin and frayed as life is, it's slowly consuming us one by one. We need to come together and to stand strong to ensure that the fabric of life does not tear and we all fall in. If we stand as one, we will not fall as many. I wrote that because, you know, people need to realize that you need to come together. Mm-hmm. You know, without unity with people, we can't have a future. We have to unite. We have to nurture our children. We have to make sure that the world around us is nurtured so that it's there tomorrow for the rest of us, mm-hmm. for our children, for their children and their children. War is not the answer. We need to stand up and stand strong. You have a voice and you can speak it and it can be heard. You just need to stand together with one another, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you can take it from my mom, and I mean, I'm 17 and I've been standing up and speaking out for a long time, and so has my mom.
And what has been the result of that for you?
It's been great, actually. I love it. It's been able to help me get on my feet and, you know, start life. But it's also helped me to have an open mindset to everything. They say never judge a book by its cover, and I've learned that throughout life, and I've also had my fair shares of, you know, things I've done or things that have happened, so being in some of the things myself, and also just hearing my mom's stories, I learn from that.
Mm-hmm.
And also, thanks to the activism of my daughter and myself, you know, our children in our neighborhood are safer.
Yes.
We have had bus stops moved.
Mm-hmm. From Columbia Boulevard.
Mm-hmm. From a street that was like threatening the lives of our children.
Mm-hmm. And this bus, school bus.
Absolutely.
Yes, school bus.
We've had the lighting redone in Pier Park,
yep.
so that it's all working throughout the park. And it's now a safe route to school.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't started it up again, but there was a walking group geared towards mothers of children who go to the bus stop, and it's called Keep It Pushing.
The incentive programs.
Mm-hmm. The police have worked with the children and, you know, was able to take them to go help box food for the hungry.
Mm-hmm.
What else did they do? They were able to make murals for the apartments.
Mm-hmm.
Just giving the kids something to do,
yeah.
showing them something positive, that there are people out there that are positive,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, kind of building that rapport with the children. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, none of that really would have happened if, for one, my daughter didn't get involved.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm kind of a recluse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't really, I can't really be around a whole bunch of people all at
mm-hmm.
one time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I would never really come out of my house too much because
mm-hmm.
I was depressed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And with the pushing of my daughter and her supervisor at the time, and, you know, somebody else, I decided to take the step.
Mm-hmm.
And once I did that, I realized that, wow,
mm-hmm.
you know,
somebody's listening.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm really making an impact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't really think that that would happen, but
yeah.
I did. And yeah, so.
Well, I want to thank all of you, Amber and Marcelia and
you.
Mary, for this wonderful conversation this evening, kitchen table conversation, Mary's creation. Mary Postlethwaite, you are an incredible human being. Thank
you,
so you for being in my life.
All of you guys are. We are all incredible.
Thank you all for listening. Find us on Facebook, KBOO Bread and Roses, Twitter, Bread Roses Radio, on the web, KBOO.fm/Bread and Roses. And next week, your hosts will be Zoe Pilyefus and Adrienne Livingston, and they're going to be talking about sex health and also the Mackenzie River Gathering Foundation. So make sure you tune in next Friday at 6 p.m. Have a wonderful week. Thank you again so much.
One more thing.
Okay, Mary. Final word.
Final word. I forgot what I was going to say. Never mind.
Let's play a song.
If there's anything that you guys want us to talk about,
yeah,
no matter what it is, call in and let us know. And we'll try our best to talk about it as best as we can and make you happy. So let us know what you want to hear on Kitchen Table Conversations.
Yep. Have a great week, everyone.
I let it fall.